This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Morning, everybody. Let's just pray. Father, we want to thank you, God, that, Lord, you're just amazing, Lord. And Lord, we just love your presence, God, and we just thank you, God, that, I just see these gifts, God, that you have for each one of us here this morning. And Lord, you want us to open that gift and you want us to receive it. So I pray, Lord, that every one of us will receive that word that you have for us, Lord. That encouragement, that peace, Lord. That we will not walk out of here today without having received that gift that you have for us. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll open our ears and our eyes to hear what you're saying. And to see you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm actually excited about tomorrow night. The girls have been saying to me for weeks, actually months, or some say years, that we have to have these shorter awaken women's evenings or mornings. And I've just been kind of kicking against it for a long time. And then I thought, yeah, it's just so difficult to find a day that works for everybody. Because on the weekends, we've got sport, the kids are busy, the evenings are difficult. And then I decided, you know what? We're just going to kick it off with one on a Monday evening, which is really not a good time. And we only actually advertised it during the holidays a couple of times. And my idea was to get about 30, 40 women together in a little cozy venue and just like worship a little bit and hear what God's saying, hear his word. And then 165 women registered. So we're really, really excited. So well done for inviting people. And it's a God thing. I mean, it wasn't our advertising or anything. God is doing something, and I'm super excited. So, yeah, let's see what God does tomorrow. But for now, God just, at the beginning of the year, Andries was, as we all do, we trust God for a word for the year. And the word that God laid on Andries' heart at the beginning of the year was peace. And he talked about peace and about how God is the God of peace. And we don't pursue peace, we pursue the God of peace. And he's saying, speaking peace over this year. And I just felt to revisit that and just say practically, where are we with that? How are we walking in peace? And how can we continue to walk in peace and walk in the peace that God has for us in a greater measure? So that's what my sermon is about this morning. And the word peace, just to revisit that again, it's such an amazing word. I actually started studying it about probably 2 years ago. I just started looking at what does the word peace mean, which is the word shalom. And it actually means completeness, soundness. It includes health, prosperity, tranquility, contentment, peace in our friendships, peace in our relationships, and peace with God. So when the Jewish people greet each other and say shalom, that's actually what they mean. It's not just be happy or be peaceful or feel peaceful or have a peaceful situation that you're in, but be content, be healthy, be prosperous. And that is the peace that God has for us. And I believe this morning that God wants to pour that peace into us. I think there's always a greater measure of walking in God's peace. But today, I really want to challenge us to remain in peace so that it doesn't come and go. But I'm trusting God to give us tools to really remain in his peace. Now, when I think, just before I start with that, but God's peace is not a peace that's dependent on circumstances. So my picture of peace, if you ask me, describe peace, I would see a really beautiful sailboat on the Mediterranean Sea with this clear green water, and the water is just calm, and the sailboat is like sitting in the harbor. So for me, that's my picture of peace. But we know that if you had a sailboat and you were always docked in a harbor, you would be pretty bored. So our sailboats are, from time to time, go into quiet waters, but most of the time they're sailing. And most of the time, there's winds. It can't really sail without the wind. So our lives are just surrounded by circumstances that aren't always great. It's winds that come this way and that way. And the winds want to blow you out of peace. And if you allow it to, you'll take on the water. You'll take on that water and you'll get out of peace if you just start focusing on the winds. But you can actually use those winds to help you sail. And sometimes, it's not just winds, but sometimes we're in storms. And how do we remain in that place of peace when we are facing storms? So just before Jesus left and he was speaking to his disciples, it was a few days before, a day or two before he was actually captured and before he was crucified, he was talking to his disciples, and for the first time he wasn't just using parables. He was trying to explain a few last important things that they needed, because they didn't really realize that he was going to be crucified, that they're going to go into a really difficult time right now. And so he said there were a few very important things that he wanted to tell them. And two of those things, he says, I really need to go away. You don't understand it now, but I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit. And then you're going to understand, because he's going to explain everything to you, but you're going to need the Holy Spirit. I need to go away so that he can come. And the second thing he said to them is, I'm giving you peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome this world, and I have given you peace. So let's just start there with John 14, verse 27, where he says, peace. This is when he was talking to his disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So Jesus says, I've got a very, very special peace. A peace that remains no matter what the circumstances are. I'm giving you, I've got peace, and I'm giving you that peace. And he says, I don't give like the world gives. The world sees peace as times when nothing goes wrong. You know, times when I've had a really, really busy day, I need my cup of coffee, I need something to calm me down. The world sees that as peace. A time when there's no strife, a day when everything's going perfectly well, when you're lying in Kirstenbosch with your kids and they're running around and everything's perfect. That's peace of the world, but that's not what God's saying. He says, I've got a very, very special peace that I'm giving you, my peace that I give you, that stays no matter the circumstances. So I'm first going to talk about storms and then later I'll talk about winds. But Paul was facing a storm. We'll read that in Acts 27. Paul was a prisoner at this stage, and they wanted to find ways to put him in prison, to kill him, to whatever. And he says, now I appeal to Rome. And they said, okay, he's appealed to Rome. He's going to stand before Caesar. So then they had to sail from Crete to Italy. So this was a journey. It took a long time. And they started entering a season that is known to be a stormy season. The weather isn't good. And he warned the guys. He said, guys, look at the weather. Look at the season. We're not going to survive the storm. So Paul was on his way into the storm, and this is where we pick up the story. So Paul warned their men, I can see our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the helmsman and of the owner of the ship. So they set sail. And then before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed the lee of a small island called Carda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. And when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. So Paul was heading into a storm, and he knew he was heading into a storm. He knew that the chances of survival was very low. He knew the ship would be broken up. He actually knew it. Sometimes we're heading into a storm. Sometimes we are in a storm. And it's almost like sometimes storm after storm after storm, and you don't really know what's going on anymore. Sometimes we create our own storms, unfortunately. Sometimes we spend too much money, we end up in debt, and we're in a continuous storm. Sometimes you're in a company And it's not anything of your own making. It could be the financial crisis or something that has caused you to be in a storm. Sometimes it's your children, a child that is just constantly difficult to manage. And you find yourself in the storm that doesn't really end. So Paul was in the storm that he had no control over. He was a prisoner. He couldn't not go into the storm. He was heading to the storm. And then the storm was as bad as he thought it was going to be. It was actually worse. So eventually, they all lost hope. So that's that verse. And finally, gave up all hope of being saved. And then the very next verse, it says, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. So look at that. One moment, they'd all lost hope. The severity of the storm, the reality of their situation was so severe that they lost all hope. And the next verse, Paul says, take up courage, men. It's going to be fine. We're going to survive. What was the change from the one moment, even Paul giving up all hope, to Paul having courage and saying, guys, we're all going to survive? There were 276 men on board. I mean, the storm was so severe that they actually had to tie ropes around the boat just to keep it together. So what happened between Paul losing hope, the one verse, and the next verse, him saying, guys, take courage, we're going to survive? What was the difference? What was the change? We'll read that in the next verse. Last night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. So let's quickly finish the story and then I can go back to that. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bows struck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get on planks or on other pieces of ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. So the reality is, in a storm, the most important thing in a storm is to hear God's voice. What is God saying about the storm? And this is what happened to Paul. I think it was so hectic that God sent an angel so that Paul could hear very clearly. But most of the time, what the angel did, he brought God's word. He brought God's perspective on the storm. And he said, Paul, I've got a plan and a purpose for you. You have to go to Caesar, you have to speak to him. So I'm going to save you. And I'm not only going to save you, I'm going to save everybody with you. So sometimes when God's favor is on us, he will not only save us, he will save our own whole company. We can trust him for not just us. But the difference was that Paul heard God's voice. And that word from God, that hope, stirred hope in him. So that word of God, that truth that God said, this is my perspective on your situation. You're all going to go. I've got a plan and I've got a purpose for you. That brought hope in Paul's heart. And that brought faith so that he could encourage others in the same situation as him. And I often say, sometimes we're in such a difficult storm that we almost don't have faith for the situation. And then I want to tell you, just hope. Just hope it's going to get better, because it is. And when you hope, when you just put your hope in God, your faith will follow. But the most important thing is to hear God's word in the storm. A few years ago, I was in a storm. It was just before that Janine was born. She's almost 9 now, almost 10 now. And a week before I was supposed to give birth, we were living in England, and it's kind of a run of the mill. You're just kind of in the process, you know, you see whoever. And it was my doctor's appointment, and I went to the doctor for my appointment, and I said to her, I actually just came for my routine checkup, but like this, I'm talking and there's something funny. I'm finding it difficult to talk, like it's something weird on my face. And she started doing tests, and she said, pack your bags, you have to go to the hospital immediately. So I went to the hospital, and throughout the day, half my face became paralyzed. So I actually had Bell's palsy. And because we caught it so quickly, they didn't know whether I had a stroke or whether I had Bell's palsy. There were about three options. And so the doctor was Googling what was happening, and I was Googling on my phone trying to figure out what was happening to me. And a lot of the tests they couldn't do because I was, like, so pregnant. I couldn't do a lot of the tests. So by the end of that day, basically, half my face was completely paralyzed. So basically what happens is, like, nothing works. So your eye kind of hangs, and you can't really speak very well. You can't really eat very well because, obviously, it's, like, not working. And so for the first 2 days, I must be honest, it was actually just nice not to have a toddler in my ears screaming because I had another girl. And then I started just spending time in the Word and just getting God's perspective on my situation, because Bell's palsy usually takes a long time to recover. You can recover in 6 months or so, but usually it takes a long time. You have to get physio and stuff like that. And so it's not ideal. And then the funny thing is, I had a nurse, one of the nurses who came to me, she would walk in and she said, "Oh, don't worry, I used to have Bell's palsy and you completely recover." And I'd look at it and I thought, but it doesn't look like you completely recovered. And then somebody from South Africa phoned me and also told me the same thing. And I thought, but I always thought that person had a stroke. So it didn't really give me hope that you can completely recover from Bell's palsy. But then I spent time with God in His Word, and we decided to call Janine from the John the Baptist. So I was just reading about what a name means and a calling and what God was going to do in her life. And in that story, John the Baptist's father is called Zechariah. And remember, Zechariah couldn't speak. Remember, God told him, "Your son is going to be called John." And then I don't think he believed God or something, but then he couldn't speak. So he was mute. And then only after John was born could he speak again. So I felt this is the Word. I really believe this is the Word God gave me, that when Janine is born, I'm going to be 100% fine, because I couldn't speak very well anymore. And then Janine was born. And unfortunately, I don't have any of those baby photos. You know, I have these photos. And my face wasn't, I was just, still had Bell's palsy, and I was getting a little bit confused, but I had absolute peace. I must tell you, since that word God gave me, I really had 100% peace that this is going to be fine. So a friend came to visit me in the hospital. I said to her, "It's just a bit weird because, you know, I really believe that once Janine is born, my face is going to be 100% fine, just like Zechariah." And then she went and read the story again, and she came back to me and said, "Listen, Lisa, on the eighth day when they named John, that's when Zechariah could speak again. And on the eighth day after Janine was born, my face was 95% healed, and the next day it was 100% healed." Yeah. So that's the amazing thing about hearing God's word in the midst of your storm. And what Paul's words were here, it happened just as he told me. Isn't that amazing? I believe that it will happen just as God told me. And that is exactly my experience with Bell when I had Bell's palsy. And another time, Andres decided to move to Hermanus. Andres decided God was leading us to Hermanus. At that stage, we were living in Stellenbosch, and I was firmly planted in Stellenbosch. I was very happy to be back from London. I've left London. I'm happy in Stellenbosch. I kind of planned where my kids would go to primary school, high school, how they would come and visit me when they're in res in Stellenbosch. And I really, really planted my roots very deep. And then within 2 years, Andres just felt God leading us to Hermanus. And I was like, you know, I really didn't. It was a storm. It was a storm for me. And the amazing thing, girls, is like, we submit to our husbands, but the reality is God will speak to you too. God will speak to you. If that's God's will, He will speak to you too. So we had a, with our staff from Stellenbosch, we were sitting, I think in like Betty's Bay or Kleinmond or whatever, somewhere where you could see Hermanus from. I was sitting on this wall, and I was speaking to God about this situation, which was a storm for me, that we have to move and uproot, and I don't want to live in Hermanus. And God said to me, as I was sitting there, He said, "You will still wonder." I could see Hermanus. He said, "You will sit on that beach one day and you will tell me how happy you are in Amonis and how happy your children are and how blessed your husband is. You will still do that. And that's the word God gave me. And obviously we are super blessed being in Amonis. But the reality is that when you're in a storm, trust God for that word, because God will do what he says he will do. Most of the time, however, we are facing winds. Okay. And the winds want to steer us off course. So this is like a day-to-day thing. So sometimes we face storms and it's big challenges and whatever. But every single day we face winds. Every single day you're gonna have a really nice wake up, hopefully in the morning. Not crazy and all the kids like can't find my school shoes and whatever, you know, those early morning things. And then somebody's going to cut in on your traffic. You're going to, not like we have traffic here, but you know, technically traffic. And somebody's going to cut in on you, and there's going to be things that frustrate you during the day. There are things that are small things that are winds. And I find I can almost deal better sometimes with a storm than I do with winds. And that's the challenge. That's what I'm growing in at the moment. It's just giving God the small things. Allowing, like, if that wind comes and the difficult situation comes in the day, don't wait or try to figure it out yourself. Allow God's peace to remain. So that's what it says in Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Now, the amazing thing is I looked through all the scriptures in the New Testament and some of the Old Testament, obviously, about peace. And God is constantly contrasting peace to, he's saying peace on the one hand, I want to give you my peace. On the other hand, he's contrasting it to anxiety and worry. So those winds are anxiety, things that cause us to be anxious or worried. Things that cause us to stress, things that cause us to fear. Okay, so anything that's, if you are worried or stressed or fearful, you are not in peace. We cannot be in both. Okay, so God says, I want you to remain in peace. And how do we do that? Okay, so we're going to look at that now. So it says in Isaiah 26, you will keep him in perfect peace. Okay, so not 50% peace or 70% peace. I will keep you in 100% perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So I went to do a little bit of a word search on this. And it says, the word keep is to guard or watch over. So God says, I will personally guard or watch over the peace in your life. You will keep in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. And that state, we know what peace is. Peace is completeness, health, contentment, soundness, tranquility. Whose mind is stayed on you. So that word stayed also means to lean on and to rest upon. His mind is leaning on. He who is leaning on. So I see this almost like a huge boulder, you know, like full club boulders, you know. You will lean on a big rock, but you won't lean on like a feeble leaf, you know. So it says the only way you will lean on God is if you, it says here, his mind is stayed in you because he trusts in you. We will not lean on God unless we trust in him. We will not lean on him unless we trust that he's a rock that will not move. So God says, I will keep him in perfect peace. I will guard over your peace. Him who leans on God because he trusts in me. So there's three things. Keeping you in perfect peace because you lean on him because he trusts him. And then we see in Proverbs 3 verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. How often when we face these small things in our lives do we lean on our own understanding? Or we lean on people. We talk to people about our issues. We talk to people about the little challenges instead of leaning on God. And leaning on our own understanding, I know men have a nothing box. Okay, we women do not understand it. When we're driving with you and we ask them, what are you thinking about? They say nothing. We're like, you're lying. You must be thinking about something, because we're always thinking about something. We're like thinking about the kids and the this and the food and everything at the same time. So we don't have the nothing box. I think men might be able to escape this one a little bit. But we, by leaning on our own understanding, is we're actually trying to figure out our issues and our problems by ourselves. So it's almost like running on a treadmill and going nowhere. Okay, that's what worry is. When we start worrying about challenges, worrying about our kids, worrying about something at work, worrying about a colleague, and we keep thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it, and we don't realize we're not giving it to God. So God wants us to not lean on our own understanding or lean on people, but lean on Him. And how can we lean on Him? 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. The only way we're really going to lean on God is if we know that He really cares. He cares not just about your storm. He cares about every detail of your life. Whatever you're caring about, He's caring about it. He cares about your children more than you can ever care about them. He cares about how it's going with you financially, your provision. He's caring about that more than you care about it. But like we heard this morning as well, we need to allow God. We need to give it to Him. And the only way we're going to lean on Him is if we trust Him and if we know that He really cares. He really cares about everything. So He says, cast your anxiety. When you're in your day, when you're going through your day, often what we do is we think, okay, I'm going to pray about it later or tomorrow morning when I have quiet time or whatever. I've learned to just pray about it immediately. When something comes, talk to God about it immediately. Tell Him what the issue is. Tell Him about the situation immediately, constantly throughout the day. Lean on Him. Give it to Him. Lean on Him, because He actually cares. God showed me the other day, I was worried about stuff, and he said to me, okay, what are you worried about? And I told him, and he said to me, it's like I'm putting on these huge, you know, these old brown coats. It's like I'm putting on all these weights on myself, and I'm not giving it to Him, because I'm thinking about it the whole time. I'm worried about this person, I'm worried about this situation, and I'm thinking about it all the time, and I'm not taking that cloak off and casting it on God. I'm not giving it to Him. And that's what we do when we pray about it. Then Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not worry about anything. Instead, but in everything that happens, everything, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind as you trust in Him. And there it is again. God saying, I guard over that peace. I'm guarding over your mind. I'm guarding that peace in your heart so that you can remain in that place of rest. So let's just go through those things. He says, pray about everything. Pray about it immediately. Don't wait. Just give it to God immediately. And then He says, with thanksgiving. The amazing thing about thanksgiving is it puts our problems into perspective. Sometimes we can get so fixated on something that we want or something that is a problem that it gets out of perspective. Our problem becomes huge in our own eyes. But thanksgiving, when we start putting our problem in perspective of who God is, of what He's done in my life, of how many times He's come through in my life, suddenly that problem becomes small in perspective to who God is and how much He cares about me. So thanksgiving, so it says prayer and thanksgiving. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. That peace, when there's something that happens that you should not have peace about, you know, in the natural, everybody around you would be freaking out. Everybody around you would be stressed out. You're in an accident or something happens and everybody says, but why are you so at peace? It's that kind of peace. It's not a peace that we have. It's a peace that God comes and brings. He says that peace will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So the most important thing is, do not allow what's on the outside of you to come on the inside of you. So God says, you're going to face storms, you're going to face winds, but don't allow those winds and those storms to come inside. Allow God's peace to guard you. When you see the storm, when you see the winds, give it to God. Keep giving it to Him, keep trusting Him, keep leaning on Him. And we do that by just praying about it and talking to Him and getting His perspective on our situation. And the amazing thing is, when you get that report that's not good, if you just say, God, I'm remaining in peace, what you're saying to God is, I'm trusting you to fight my battles. I'm trusting you that you are working on my behalf. I'm not going to sit and worry and worry and worry about it and thinking I'm doing something about it because I'm worrying. No, I'm going to give it to God and I'm going to allow Him to work on my behalf. If you can remember in Mark 4, verse 35 to 41, Jesus was in a storm. What did Jesus do when He was in a storm? Can you remember? Jesus slept. Okay, so Jesus was so at peace that even though He was in a storm and that boat of theirs was taking on water, it was a hectic storm. Jesus slept. So let's read that just in conclusion. Mark 4, verse 35. That day when evening came, He said to His disciples, let us go over to the other side, leaving the crowd behind. So what was Jesus' words? We're going to the other side. It will happen, just as He said. Let us go over to the other side, leaving the crowd behind. They took Him along just as He was in the boat. There were also other boats with Him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Him up and said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to His disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified and asked each other, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey Him? If you've been maybe in a storm and you've said, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that I'm drowning? Don't you care about what's happening in my situation? Know that He cares. He really cares. He knows exactly what your thoughts are. He knows exactly what your situation is. The amazing thing is, Jesus slept through a storm, but He also calmed the storm. So some of us today are maybe in a hectic storm, and you are overwhelmed. You are not experiencing the peace. Then I believe that Jesus will stand up today and He will calm your storm. And maybe the band can come to the front. Maybe we can just all close our eyes and just allow God to minister to us in this time. Lord, we want to thank You, God, that, Lord, You calm every storm. Thank You, God, that You are right here, Lord, and that You calm every storm, Lord. And those people who are going through a storm, Lord, that in this time, Lord, need to get that word from You, God. Thank You, God, that You're here to give them that word, Lord. And Father, I pray for the rest of us, Lord, that are just experiencing winds every day, Lord. Lord, help us to pray and to trust You and to lean on You. And just while the bands are just playing in the background, just while your eyes are closed, and I just trust, God, that He's going to bring up things in your heart. Maybe things that you are worried about. Maybe things that you are anxious about. And like I explained earlier, it's like that heavy cloak that you've got on, because you keep topping about something. And you don't really trust God yet to take it. I want you to take that boldness now, to take that heavy coat off and to give it to Jesus, because He's right here. To just give you, to take that worry and that anxiety and that fear and to replace it with His perfect peace. Yeah, and if you're in a storm, it's really important that you don't ask somebody else to give you a word from God, but that you actually go and spend time this afternoon or tomorrow morning to spend time with God. He's faithful to give you a word, and that word will help you to get through your storm. So, Father, we want to thank You, God, just for Your perfect peace. Thank You, Father, that I can ask, Lord, that every single person who's sitting here, God, Lord, that Your perfect peace will fill every heart and every mind. Father, we pray, Lord, thank you that you say you guard that peace, Lord. Thank you that we can go into this week, Lord, knowing that your peace fills us, that it floods our hearts and our minds, and that we can remain in that place of peace, Lord.